and a very happy December to you fine folks out there in Radio Land. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH, and it's been a teeny bit longer since the last live program than I would like it to be, but, you know, stuff happens. However, I can assure you, boys and girls, that it is worth the wait, because once again, we take a trip from chilly Ohio, a little to the south, southeast of here, to Florida, and visit with our official presidentologist and political commentator, Dr. Ronald L. Fineman. And L, of course, stands for lots of humor, laughs, and political knowledge. How's the holiday season working out for you so far, Ron?
It's worked out very well. You know, the whole situation here has changed quite a bit. I'll tell you about it once the show is over.
So, the wish you a happy Christmas Kwanzaa, miss. Combination of
yes.
All three
well,
of them.
Well, Hanukkah comes on the 18th, so it's still a while.
Yeah. Hanukkah does overlap with Christmas, which it doesn't always do. It can start as early as around Thanksgiving. It can run until after New Year's Day, but it kind of coincides with Christmas this year, which is...
Yes, and my birthday is the 17th.
Oh, your birthday. You'll be
yes.
You'll be 49 once again, right?
Exactly. I was going to say 49. 49 plus, and I'm not going to tell you how much.
And you were born in the same hospital as one Donald J. Trump, right?
Yes. It's not a joke. He's a year and a half younger, but actually he was born in Jamaica Queens Hospital. Yes. And so I joke with people at times who don't know the difference in age. I'll say we were switched at birth.
You know, Jamaica Queens, that's not far from where my sister lives. So, you know, small world,
yeah.
Isn't it? See, speaking
yeah.
of...
The difference is he grew up in Jamaica Estates, wealthy. You know, I was born and lived in an apartment building in Jamaica, so we moved to Long Island. So, you know, it's in Nassau County. So, not quite the same background.
Speaking of Adam's family, the first broadcast of this program will be on December 5th, and I wish a happy posthumous, my goodness, 83rd birthday to my father, hopefully listening up there in heaven.
Yeah.
I think that God does allow people to have online radio stations broadcast, so... If he is listening, this will be a scintillating, fabulous program. People in heaven may not hear all the news that we have here in the world, but on another tragic note...
Probably better off, they don't know all the news.
Yeah, another tragic note, a musician that my dad and I both very fond of, Christine McVie, who actually passed away at the same age my dad did, 79, recently lost her, a soft rock trailblazer, member of Fleetwood Mac, composer, awesome singer. She did solo work and played a pretty mean keyboard and was involved in some fun affairs and scandals with other band members, which is part of their image. And many of their songs, as you know, Ron, are about their on and off relationships. And lost Christine McVie, very sudden. Are you like me, just really admire what she did for rock and roll? And I think... A role model for all female musicians, the things that she could do. I mean, was she a writer, a singer, a keyboard player? She did everything. I mean, what couldn't she do?
She was a genius, yep.
And not very easy on the eyes also, let me say that. So,
and then a great baseball player, a Hall of Famer and Cy Young Award winner, Gaylord Perry, died
yes,
a couple of days ago, yep.
Did he throw a spitball? Well, probably. Great player, someone I admired. Growing up, he played for the Indians, among other about 10 different teams.
He was 84, which is a good age, certainly.
Yeah, he played for many teams and versatile player. You know, not flashy. You know, not the greatest pitcher ever, but certainly Hall of Fame.
Well, yeah, 314 wins. I mean, that's not many people have had 300 wins. You know,
very reliable. I mean, you know, when you put him on the mound, that you're going to get a good game.
And he's in the Hall of Fame, so that's not easy to get in. Yeah.
And his brother Jim, also a baseball player. So, yeah, lost two of my favorite people. May they rest in peace. And at a rather young age, Irene Cara, from Fame, singer of Flashdance, award winning singer, beautiful lady. Very very sad. So as we say, Ron, on this occasion of my dad's anniversary of his birth, on the first broadcast of this program. Of course, this program is going to broadcast so many times because it's so good, but. If you are listening, folks, the first day it's broadcast, which is December 5th, treasure every moment you have with your parents and friends. Every day you wake up is a blessing. And that's one
You're
thing
right.
that I think
no
comes
one knows
to mind,
how long they're going to have. That's true.
Comes to mind as I continue my adventure in this crazy thing called life. Rana, remember, you're going to be having a birthday soon also, right? Number 49 again?
Yes, I'm the 17th, yeah. And I'm not going to be 49. I cannot lie.
Well, you were 49. I was 49, but time marches on.
Yes.
But we will discuss your birthday in a upcoming show.
Yes.
Now, as you folks probably know, Dr. Ron L. Fineman, where L stands for lots of laughter and political and presidential knowledge, is the author of a blog that he's been doing for the last 11, 12, 13, 14 years, the ProgressiveProfessor.com. Now, the title is kind of intriguing. It would imply that he is a left-leaning, which he certainly is, but many of the articles really are not slanted toward a political opinion, just designed to touch into the history of presidents and U.S. politics, which Ron is quite the expert in, and that's what a PhD kind of is, someone who knows a lot about one topic as well as topics that are similar to said discipline, and that would probably describe Ron pretty well. In the last couple weeks, Ron, since we've talked, there have been a lot of blog entries, some of which
Of controversial things have been going on.
Some of which I agree with, some of which I don't agree with, and some don't really opinionated, so I just read them and let them get absorbed into my brain. And we do encourage you folks to read the blog daily. It takes 1 to 2 minutes in most cases, and you will come away a smarter person than you were when you sat down to read said blog. One of my favorite recent entries, of course, it was also a grammatical discussion point here. If Herschel Walker were to win in Georgia, or as it was to win, I say it's were to win in Georgia, the Senate would be degraded. Now, Herschel Walker, a great football player, but he wouldn't be the first.
40 years ago, yep.
He wouldn't be the first football player. I think of a running back whose last name is Simpson. I think of a quarterback named Mr. Schleister from right here in Columbus. wouldn't be the first time that a great football player has been embroiled in controversy. And, we respect what Herschel Walker did on the field, but he's hung up his cleats, and should he hang up his suit and tie? And you're saying he should, that he would not be a good senator, Ron. That would be correct, right?
I hate to say it, but, there are people in the Senate who I really don't like, I despise, but they all are intelligent, and they at least make sense in what they say, even if I don't agree. He cannot even make a sentence about anything that makes any sense. It's an embarrassment that he's being pushed by Trump and by the Republican Party just to have a seat. Should have been somebody else nominated by the Republican Party in Georgia. He is not qualified or competent to be a senator. He degrades the office if he does that. And so, he's not going to win. It seems clear to me with the early voting. Warnock has won before. I think he's going to win. And he's a really decent man. He's a pastor. And he's done a good job in the Senate. And I'd be shocked if he does not win. But even if he does not win, the Senate is still Democratic. That's the good thing.
So J.D. Vance, for example, I don't expect you agreeing with much of what he has to say, nor I agree with some of what he has to say. But we both admire his intelligence. He's not even 40 years old. Very, very well spoken.
I don't like Ted Cruz, but I wouldn't say he's a moron or he doesn't know what he's talking about. I just don't agree with it.
J.D. Vance presents himself really well. He's definitely comes across as older than he is. And we may not agree with his viewpoints. And I do think that he will moderate in office.
I hope he does,
But we will get someone, though.
I think that's a big loss. That's the one election where the loss, I thought, was really grievous. I think Tim Ryan would have been so much better in the Senate. I really mourn the fact about Tim Ryan because he's really competent, had a great record, and that's the one loss that I really have mourned more than any other because there haven't been many to mourn. The Democrats have done very well, but that, of course, was a loss, I thought.
There appear to be some parallels, Ron, between Herschel Walker and Dr. Ben Carson. We don't question at all the greatness when they were in their prime of their careers. Carson, a brain surgeon. Herschel Walker, great football player that I certainly admired when I, didn't see him in person play, but watched him on TV or heard on the radio.
Yeah.
But in their political careers, they seem to have gone south quite a bit. I would imagine you would concur with that.
Well, I wouldn't put Carson in the same category. He's certainly better, in quotes. than Herschel Walker. But he often seems to be, you wonder what happened to his ability as a surgeon, because I think he's definitely been in decline, but not to the extent, I think, that the brain damage, which is probably what it is with Herschel Walker, plus his horrible love life where he's been involved with abusing so many women and having abortions. Women get abortions when he says he's anti-abortion. Such hypocrisy, really.
Well, Herschel Walker certainly is a colorful character, and we shall see how his career in politics transpires. Adam, here
on... I thought that Barack Obama made a great statement when he said, you know, that Herschel Walker talked about the choice between being a vampire or a... what is the other word on the term? I can't think of it now. Can you help me with this?
Nope, don't remember, but I'm sure it'll come to us.
So he said, I thought of that when I was 7. It was so funny.
But talking with Dr. Ron Feinman here on The Talking Place with me, Adam Lepp, on Mid-Morning Coffee Break and or the Adam the Computer Guy Radio Extravaganza. Thank you so much for listening. If you ever miss an episode of this program, be sure to visit our website, WWGH1071.com, and you will see a section for Adam. Click on the show of your choice, get a cup of coffee, or pop open a cold one, and enjoy the program. Again, you will come away a smarter and more insightful and erudite human being than you were then versus when you started listening to.
Yes, I wanted to jump in to say, I thought werewolf, he was talking about I was better to be a werewolf or a vampire. And Obama said, I thought of that when I was 7. So I thought he was very funny. Obama is a great speech maker. He knows how to give, he's an orator par excellence.
Yeah, touche is about what I would say. A very controversial act, Ron, that you've written about, and so has everybody and his or her mother. But I'd like to hear what you have to say. Mr. Nick Fuentes. And I just did some research. He's only 24 years old.
Yes, he is actually mentally ill. I think he's very dangerous. And if he goes a little too far, you know, there's no such thing as free speech when you're promoting violence. So I think he's in danger of being incarcerated at some point if he provokes violence. He's horrifying. The man is very definitely ill. He's a Holocaust denier. He's an anti-Semite. He's a white supremacist, and yet he's friends with Kanye West. And Kanye West is definitely nuts. There's something really wrong with the man. And anti-Semitism is rampant now, and not just them, but it's really upsetting to anybody who's Jewish or anybody who cares about Jews or about just decency. You know, we don't hate people for who they are as far as their background. But this Nick Fuentes is a dangerous man, and I think he's someone that needs to be. I'm sure he's being watched all the time to make sure he doesn't get involved in promoting violence, but... You know, the thing is, Marjorie Taylor Greene was at one of his rallies or Nick Fuentes, and then she says she doesn't know him. The thought that she's going to be a major impact on Kevin McCarthy, who's likely the speaker, but not certainly the speaker, is just horrendous. It really is. It's just a crazy time we live in.
Well, Nick Fuentes, certainly a colorful character, put it mildly. Apparently, there was a get-together between Mr. Donald J. Trump, former president of the United States and hopeful president, after the Biden administration. We'll maybe talk about that also. Meeting between Donald Trump and Nick Fuentes at Mar-a-Lago, and that generated, not unexpectedly, a lot of controversy. Now, his Vice President Mike Pence said that Donald should apologize. Mitch McConnell, Senate Minority Leader, said the behavior was reprehensible. Now, I would think...
Yes, but notice, Trump is not doing any of that.
I would think
so although he was good to Israel in certain ways... He's consorting with anti-Semites, and let's face it, the man is an anti-Semite. The president is, and I'm wondering about the one-third of Jews who are the Republican Jewish coalition, how they can possibly stomach Donald Trump and the way the Republican Party gives in to these anti-Semites. It's really disgraceful.
So free speech is one thing, Ron. We both agree Nick Fuentes can think what he wants. It's America.
Yes.
And if you don't like a certain kind of people, then that's your prerogative. I don't think it's right. And there are certain kinds of people that I don't like and I think are not likable. But what Nick Fuentes feels is certainly extreme. And I would agree that he is a bit of a whack job, to put it mildly.
I think he's mentally disturbed, really. I think he's a danger. Yeah. But so far, it's just speech. But if he goes further, he needs to be arrested and incarcerated because he could be a threat. I mean, when he jokes about the Holocaust and the ovens and all that, it's sick. It's beyond, and even Kanye West, or Yee, as she calls herself, saying, oh, Hitler's a great man. Does he think that Hitler would not have killed him if he had lived then? He's lunatic.
Well, he certainly is also a colorful character and not one that I would be a fan of, nor am I a fan of his music, of course. If you know, I don't like that kind of music, but if you do like rap and hip-hop, well, that...
I do not like rap and hip-hop.
That's fine.
That doesn't mean they'll have a right to, but I don't like that. I think there's really music in my mind.
Versus Ron and I could agree. We admire the football talent of Herschel Walker, O.J. Simpson, even Art Schleister, the football players who have taken a turn south, to put it mildly. But yeah, with Kanye West, he's a piece of work, to put it mildly. I can't think of anything else.
But Trump sees him as a great friend. It's just amazing. And yet he wouldn't rent Trump and his father to African Americans 50 years ago in Queens, New York, and to let them rent apartments. So he's a white supremacist and a racist. There's no question about it.
We would deny it.
Oh, but he claims he's not. But his actions speak louder than words.
We'd agree, Ron. It's good to hear viewpoints from people who don't agree with you, even if they're extreme.
Yes.
I mean, you would have
talked about that. I want to bring up from November 23rd, because it's been a while since, that Mike Pompeo, the former Secretary of State, said the most dangerous person in the world is Randy Weingarten of the American Federation of Teachers, and I blasted him for that. That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard, to say a teachers union leader, whatever you think about her, that indeed it's worse than Putin or Xi or Kim Jong-un or the Iranian government or even many other people in cases. Of people around the world or different groups. And I think it's a real attack on education, it's an attack on women, and it's an attack on gays and lesbians, because she happens to be a lesbian who's married to a woman. So it's attacking on all those bases. But how do you say that an educator is more dangerous than anybody in the whole world? I think that disqualifies him to be a president, really,
beyond anything else. I can think of several people, one of whom you and I would not agree on, that's Dr. Fauci, who are extremely dangerous. But again, there are
I think he's fine. I hope they leave him alone. He's retiring. He's 82. Leave him alone. He served eight presidents, I guess? Seven presidents from Reagan on. Almost 40 years, and he's a great servant, and the Republican Party needs to leave him alone. And certainly, at least he got one award that he doesn't have to deal with speaking before Dr. Rand, so-called doctor, he's a phony, Rand Paul, because the Senate is controlled by the Democrats. So he may have to be questioned by the House, but not by the Senate.
Yeah, we've agreed, Ron, this program is a no-mask, no-COVID zone, except for occasional wisecracks or things that aren't really controversially oriented. So, yeah. But by the way, there are people that many may admire that I would consider to be dangerous. But if we didn't all have different opinions on things and still agree on other things, the world would be a pretty boring place, wouldn't it? The topic, Ron, of Nick Fuentes socializing and dining with Donald Trump, that is not the same as if you, for example, had dinner with someone who is very anti-choice. That's very different. Let's even talk about our friend Mike Essen, a talk show host, Facebook and social media commentator. Certainly there are things that I agree with him on, like the aforementioned so-called pandemic, which we're not going to get into. But there are things that you and I don't agree with him on. The big A word, that is abortion, certainly being one of them. But we can still be friends. We can still shake hands. We can still respect each other. But that is different than Donald Trump socializing with Nick Fuentes. That Fuentes has
gone. And Kanye West even also. But I think in a way, even more than Kanye West, I think Nick Fuentes is more scary in a way,
Fuentes has gone over the line.
Yes.
It's not anything, not in the same league as you or I being friends with someone like Mike Essen. And we respect Mike Essen.
Oh, of course not.
Even, you, because you agree with him on very little. And I agree with him on many things. But we still respect him.
But he's not a danger to society. That's the difference. It's no comparison at all. You're right.
So it is very different. Just to let people know that line is drawn. And this is where that comes into play. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. The Nick Fuentes meeting. Is that going to kind of be the nail in the coffin, Ron, for Donald Trump's hope to become president again? Do you think it might help him? Will it not make a difference?
No, I think it will hurt him. But also, he lost on the case about Mar-a-Lago and with the circuit courts. He's lost in the case in New York. He's losing on every front. I cannot see how he's not going to be indicted now after the Oath Keepers leader was indicted and convicted. I think there's no question now that whether he'll be convicted, that's another thing. But there's no way that he will evade justice, at least with being on trial. There's no way.
Do you think that this increases the chance that your sitting governor, Mr. DeSantis, will become the next president? As you know, I think he will become the next president. Is this helping him at all?
Well, actually, in theory, yes, but I don't think so. I just wrote an article on History News Network, which came out about a week ago, in which I said, projecting the next presidential winner from the midterm results is a fool's bet. You can look it up on History News Network under Ronald L. Fineman. It's November 18th. And I point out, literally, every time since Wilson's time, 1912. You go back to 2 years before 1912, the midterm elections, and you would say, who's likely for 1912? Not one time, not once, did the person that you might have thought in 1910 or in 1918 for Harding, when Harding came in 1920 election, and all the way, including Trump in 2014 and Obama in 2006, and Clinton in 1990 and Reagan in 1978, in every case, whoever they thought was going to be the nominee, it didn't turn out with somebody else. So I think it's not going to be Ron DeSantis. He might be the nominee, but I'm talking about the winner. I don't think that he's going to be the next president of the United States. I don't know who. It might be Biden. It might be someone we're not thinking of yet or not focusing on. But I think, we look at history for 112 years, the one who's sort of like the front runner, he's ahead now after the midterms, never ends up in the White House. Never once. You can read that article and you'll see it.
Well,
it could happen. Of course, it could break the tradition, but it has not been the case ever, even with Trump. Nobody talked in 14 he was going to be winning or even be running. And Obama in 6, it was more of a joke. He's going to be Barack Hussein Obama, yeah. And all the way back, Jimmy Carter in 74, nope, nobody thought about him. He was known who he was, but he was going to be president. Are you kidding? Jimmy who? And it goes all the way back. Kennedy in 58, Catholic? Oh, come on, not a Catholic, et cetera. So,
yeah, I remember talking about Carter. Cause that was probably the first election where I was old enough to follow things. And my dad being very interested in politics, working for the government of Ohio at that time, people were saying, he's a peanut farmer from Georgia who wants to be president. They didn't even mention that he was governor. It's like, it's Georgia. He's a farmer.
Carter, I knew who he was, but I thought, nice guy, smiles nicely, but come on, he's from the South. He hasn't had an election of a Southerner, directly since Zachary Taylor. And, he had Birch Bayh and Frank Church and Walter Mondale and others who were thought. So I said, nah, and also we thought maybe Ford might indeed be the, might win. Anyway, he didn't know yet. He was only in office a short time. So he was really seen as the least likely choice, and look what happened.
Yeah, you never quite know, just when you think you got it figured out. As I've mentioned,
so if you go by history, yeah, it would not be Ron DeSantis. It would be somebody else, or maybe Joe Biden will come back for another term. Right now, I'd say it's even that he could or might not. But the Republican nominee, I'd rather see somebody else, because let's say Joe Biden runs or even another Democrat runs. If I'm going to have a Republican, I want someone, a conservative Republican, I can live with and respect. And I have a few in mind. Larry Hogan, the outgoing governor of Maryland, is really good, a really decent guy. John Sununu of New Hampshire, governor of New Hampshire, is also, conservative. I don't agree on many things. Even, Adam Kinzinger, obviously, and even Liz Cheney, even though I hate her father. But any of those people would at least be principled, and I wouldn't agree, but they're not a danger, and they're not Trumpites. So, but I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'll go for Adam Kinzinger. I like his name, so.
Yeah, and he's young. He's in his 40s. He was in the military. He's had 12 years in the House. He's a really appealing candidate from Illinois. And I think he would be an excellent, but he's also anti-Trump. And obviously the Trump people would not accept him. So it might be a split. It might be a third party led by Cheney or Kinzinger. Who knows?
Whatever happens, it'll be a fascinating presidential campaign with Trump announcing
absolutely.
His candidacy.
And if Biden does not run, if he decides, I think he will, then, oh my God, it's wide open. And I can see some really good candidates out there. And some of them are pretty new as far as, not as much experience. But I don't think that matters because Obama didn't have much experience and Carter didn't. You don't have to have tons of experience like Joe Biden. So I look at Wes Moore of Maryland, the new African-American governor of Maryland. He's really exciting. He reminds me of Obama a lot. And also Josh Shapiro, who's Jewish, who's been attorney general, now is governor of Pennsylvania. It really is good. And, of course, Pete Buttigieg. A lot of people, and, of course, there are many others. I also think Amy Klobuchar would be really good if she came along. There's a lot of choices, but I guess it looks like nobody's going to challenge him if he announces, and it looks like he's going to announce.
Well, Donald Trump.
And even Newt Gingrich says how much he surprised everybody, that you can't underestimate him, as I wrote on Saturday. So, you know, he has his faults like everybody does, but don't be so sure he won't be back for a second term and survive 8 years. He might.
Donald Trump didn't have any experience, so we can throw that right out the window.
He had zero. Even the others, like Taylor and Eisenhower, had military experience. The only businessman to run, or actually only two businessmen to run for president before Trump with no experience would be H. Ross Perot, but that was a third party, and Wendell Willkie in 1940. He actually was pretty decent, but he had no background, and people clearly preferred somebody at the time of World War II to have a person who had experience. But Perot's the only other one, and I would say either would have been better than Trump.
Yeah, good old H. Ross Perot, as I called him. He
yes.
was a squirrely little character, but a very smart man for sure.
Yes, he was, but I didn't care for him. But the thing is, he actually could have done better than he did. He got almost 20% of the vote, but he was announced, and then he backed out, and then he came back, and he was sort of irrational. And so, and he got one out of every five people to vote for him. It was amazing, and he killed off H.W. Bush, because if he had not been in the race, it's possible the first Bush would have beaten Clinton because of his sex scandal problems.
Adam here on The Talking Place, speaking with our presidential expert and historian, Dr. Ron Fineman, from his domicile in Florida. The hurricane season, Ron, has been pretty quiet in your part
except
of the state.
Except for the big one which hit the west coast of Florida, Hurricane Ian, yes.
So very lucky there.
Lucky for us, but horrible for the rest of the state, yes, for the west coast, you know, for the Gulf Coast, yes, it was terrible.
Yeah, hurricanes
You know, so it was just fortunate that we did not have any other real threat, you know. Although we worried about the next hurricane that came along here, but it was nothing, you know, the one that came a couple of weeks later.
Yeah, I mean, they are
but
fascinating.
Ian was one of the worst of all time, yeah.
Yeah, but very, very destructive.
But fewer total hurricanes than they expected, that's true.
You wrote in your blog, Ron, not unexpectedly, about the next Speaker of the House. Share with our listeners, Fancy Nancy, as I call her, she will no longer be Speaker because she no longer is in the majority party. I guess she's also looking at retiring because she's getting
and she's
up
also
there.
82, so there's going to be a new leadership now and the Democrats. Hakeem Jeffries of New York is African-American, is going to be the Democratic leader. And in theory, in 2 years, if they win back control, which I think is likely because both parties are almost even, almost the same result both times. So probably there's a good chance the Democrats will win enough seats back. They only need like a few seats gained and they'll come back probably in 2024. Yeah, Hakeem Jeffries will be probably the next speaker after this one. But will it be Kevin McCarthy? I don't know. He has trouble with people like Matt Gaetz in Florida who will not vote for him. He can only lose, I think, four members. You know, it's a very small margin. So I get the feeling it might be the person in your neighborhood there, Jim Jordan. Oh, my God. That might become the speaker. Who knows? Anything is possible.
Tell us about the procedure. When does Fancy Nancy's term end, and how do they exactly pick the next speaker?
The speaker is chosen by the majority party, and it's done on January 3rd, the first day of the new session for 2 years. And, of course, they have a control. I think there's one seat still not settled. But basically, it looks like it's going to be 2-2-2 to 2-1-3. And that's, I think, exactly what was the past 2 years, except the other party. So there's only a few seats switch. But as long as they keep 218 votes, they can only lose, like, four people if they have 222. It looks like there's more than five that are saying they're not going to vote for him. So it might be Steve Scalise, the second-ranking Republican, who's the one who was shot a few years back, you remember, and luckily survived. So he might become, he would certainly be better than somebody like a Jim Jordan. But I think they're all horrendous. I think Kevin McCarthy is allowing Marjorie Taylor Greene to dictate to him, and it's going to be a very chaotic 2 years of the House. They're going to just go out and have investigations and find nothing, including our Hunter Biden. Yeah, there's problems there, but nothing serious. It reminds me when they investigated, Hillary Clinton after Benghazi, and they found nothing. But they waste a lot of time, and they're not going to do anything to make life better for the American people. So I think they're going to lose the House in 2 years. Because they only have to lose a few seats, and they lose it.
So at this point, we don't know the next speaker. It's not definitely McCarthy. It could be Jim Jordan.
Or it could be Steve Scalise, or it could be Who knows? Probably one of those three, I'd say, yeah. But Jim Jordan would be the worst of the three. I think Steve Scalise actually would probably be a little bit better. But they can't cater to these Freedom Caucus members, but they sort of like have to because there are more than five of them. So the extreme right wing is controlling the party, and that's not good for the country and for the party.
Yeah, it would be nice to have another speaker from Ohio. I think John Boehner did a decent job.
Well, you know what it is? Boehner was not like that much when he was there, or Paul Ryan. But honestly, each one that comes in looks worse than the one before. So I think McCarthy will be worse than Ryan and Boehner. I really think so. And going back to earlier speakers, you know. But he's suffering a lot now, and he's being humiliated in order to get the votes. And we won't know until January 3 whether he's a speaker or not, but somebody has to. And actually, they could pick anybody to be speaker. It doesn't have to be a member of the House. It's never happened, but there's no law or rule that says you have to be a member of the House. So some people have suggested Liz Cheney could become speaker of the House, even though she's not in the House of Representatives next year. Wouldn't that be funny?
I think Scott Spears should be speaker. He'd be perfect because he can get interviews with anybody.
Yeah, and also Justin Amash of Michigan, who was a Republican and then became an independent and is no longer in the House, he has said he's willing to be a unifying factor and become the Speaker in order to unify the Congress. Justin Amash, A-M-A-S-H. He would also be better, or even Adam Kinzinger. But actually, the whole thing that was really weird is months ago when they were talking about what might happen, it actually was said that the Republicans could go crazy and pick, get this, Donald Trump to be Speaker. Anybody could be Speaker. You could be, like you were saying, Scott Spears. Imagine if somehow they tried to make Donald Trump Speaker of the House two heartbeats away from the presidency. That's not funny. I mean, it sounds like I'm laughing, but it's horrifying. Anybody could become Speaker, in theory.
That would be intriguing. I didn't know that. I thought you had to be a member of Congress, of the House.
No, you should have the House. You should be, but it's not written in law that it has to be. So I actually feel Liz Cheney would be a good person, but the Republicans would hate her. So it would be such chaos, you know, because of what she did with the January 6th committee. So I don't know. But it's clear we're going to have anarchy and chaos for the next few weeks, and probably it's going to make Nancy Pelosi and her record look far better than even people who don't like her, because she really ran a tight ship and she got a lot done in 9 and 10, and now again in 21-22. She actually will go down as one of the best speakers of the House after Sam Rayburn and Thomas Tip O'Neill. Really, she will. She had an impact.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me, Ron, you don't have to be a lawyer to be on the Supreme Court. We talked about that. Anybody can be on the Supreme Court.
But you don't have to be a lawyer to be a member of the Congress either.
Yeah, well,
you can
for
be anybody.
Yeah, well, if the president doesn't have to be a lawyer, I don't think he should have to be. It's helpful.
But the thing, you can be any background you want.
But
as long
I would
as people
think,
elect you to
yeah,
the
I
House
mean, if you're a judge, though, yeah, judge is different. I mean, George W. Bush was a very successful businessman, a baseball team owner, oil guy, and that certainly made him qualified. DeSantis is a lawyer with an Ivy League degree. Biden is a lawyer. We don't really talk about that much, but I didn't even know that till I checked, but that is his educational
Tony
background.
Trio, he was a lawyer, yes. You know, and he was head of the Judiciary Committee many times because of the Senate majority and his seniority. He was also the head of the Foreign Relations Committee. So he really knew, and also as VP, he knew foreign leaders. He has more expertise and background in knowing the world than anybody since H.W. Bush and Nixon, as far as foreign policy expertise. Certainly more than the others.
I think we'd agree. You don't have to be, shouldn't have to be a lawyer to be president or in Congress. But I was really surprised to hear to be on the Supreme Court, you could have nothing more than a high school or a GED. And still,
back in the 19th century, some probably didn't have more, but that's a different time. Yeah,
I think
members of the court now are lawyers
to be a judge in the highest.
It's not written that they have to be. No.
To be a judge in the highest court in the land, I think he should be a lawyer with a bar association membership in one state or more.
Yes, but look, Woodrow Wilson, who had a PhD in political science, he wasn't a lawyer.
Right, but he was president. He wasn't on the Supreme Court.
And
right?
George McGovern didn't get elected. Also had a PhD in history, and that's what drew me to him 50 years ago. And he was not a lawyer either. So you don't have to be a lawyer to run for president, I'm saying,
Right, but on the Supreme Court, though, I think you should be, because that is a legal job. But business people.
Also, you should not have your wife intervening and getting involved in politics when you're on the court, or your husband, if it's a woman. And you know what I'm talking about, who I'm talking about.
Right.
Ginny Thomas and Clarence Thomas.
Right. But for president, we've had many who have been very successful businessmen. Jimmy Carter and George W. Bush come to mind.
Yeah.
And Donald Trump, well, he's a totally different species altogether.
Say the least.
And again, Woodrow Wilson, again, a PhD, a college president. So Warren G. Harding, of course, a newspaper guy, someone who's been around journalism. So many different things can make you a successful president. But, you know, the street smarts, I think, the speaking ability to work, you know, long hours, put up with all kinds of people. That's probably the biggest one and probably the most.
Yes. And also, we've had presidents who were never elected to anything other than being president. Herbert Hoover had been a cabinet member and worked for Wilson earlier, but he was never elected other than president. And William Howard Taft is another cabinet officer, but he had never been elected to anything. You don't have to have been elected first, you know.
Yeah. Bottom line is, if you're 35 or older, a natural born citizen, then you can probably run for president. There are some other requirements, but, you know, if you don't like the current...
Hopefully you're sane.
I'm not sure sanity is a requirement to be president.
But we've had some that certainly showed at times emotions that made you wonder about their stability, Nixon and Trump.
Right, but someone like DeSantis, Ron, his resume, a lawyer, a governor, you know, good age, 40s,
Ivy League degrees. Young, yes.
I mean, his resume is outstanding. Whether you agree with him or like him is one thing, but he certainly has those on-paper textbook qualifications.
Yeah, but what I got to say, we have a lot of Harvard Law School people that are really mean, nasty people, as I see, like Ted Cruz is from there, and Ron DeSantis is, and Josh Hawley. So they have the degrees, and they have the Ivy League, but they're arrogant SOBs, as I see it. I mean, really. So it doesn't mean, and what interests me is Ted Cruz, I think I've told you this before, who do you think was one of his professors at Harvard Law? Elizabeth Warren.
there's an odd couple for
you. It didn't have an effect on him, obviously.
And, you know, Bill Clinton, a popular governor. I mean, not a very big state, but he was still a popular governor.
And he went to Yale Law
lawyer,
School, yeah.
Yeah, a Rhodes Scholar, and his wife.
And Hillary also went to Yale Law School, yep.
The first lady with a postgraduate degree. And, you know, whether or not you like Bill Clinton, that's another topic of discussion. But certainly he met those textbook qualifications like many others have. But whether or not that's an ingredient to be a liked and a successful president, that's another ball of wax, I guess.
A lot of the recent presidents have had Ivy League degrees, but it's not a requirement, of course. And, of course, Harry Truman never went to college at all.
Talking with Dr. Ron Fineman here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Just a few minutes left here, Ron. We always find plenty of topics to ponder. Time always goes by fast. And you recently wrote in your blog about Joe Biden and what kind of a president is he? Well, Newt Gingrich says Republicans have underestimated Joe Biden. So what's up with that?
Well, I thought it's impressive that Newt Gingrich would say that because, let's face it, the Democrats basically did not do badly at all in the midterm elections. They lost the House, okay, but still by the same margin that the Republicans had lost it 2 years ago. But they gained at least, it looks like, at least the same 50 seats, hopefully a 51st seat. And they beat every election denier, including Carrie Lake in Arizona and Doug Mastriano in Pennsylvania and Sue Dixon in Michigan. And that's a real victory to get rid of these election deniers. And even Carrie Lake is still trying to claim, like Donald Trump, that she was not accepted the result. And I say, who the hell cares whether she does? She's a lunatic. I mean, she wasn't that way before. She was a television news reporter or hosted TV news in Phoenix. But people say she's so different from what she was then. Something is wrong with her. I think she's got mental issues again. People don't want to accept it. But when people suddenly, you know, diverge so much to such extreme ideas and unwilling to accept reality, you have to wonder about it. So I'm just glad that she's not going to be the governor of Arizona. And her opponent, Katie Hobbs, refused to debate with her. And I said, oh, boy, that's not good. But she was right. She didn't have to debate with her. The people saw through and realized Katie Hobbs was the better person, even though she refused to debate. It was a gamble, but it worked out, so Arizona was very lucky.
Also, you wrote about the presidential primary system, that Joe Biden has some ideas to change it, maybe improve it.
Get rid of Iowa. And I tend to agree. Iowa has this ridiculous caucus that didn't work out well. It's only one of four states that has had it recently. And it's also not a diverse state at all. It's like 91% white. New Hampshire's 92% white. So the arguments have more diversity. So that's why he proposes South Carolina go first, and then Nevada and New Hampshire would have a joint date, and then Georgia and Michigan as much more representative. And I think something like that would be good. Now, it's going to alienate people in Iowa and I guess New Hampshire, where they always want to go first. But tough luck. That's the way it is. But they're both rural states and not very significant. And I do think this is a good move. But it could change future years. But I think having some reform is a good idea.
Yeah, I never either understood or liked the idea of a caucus. Where I come from, you go to the ballot box and you vote.
Yes, a caucus is only for party activists in the evening of the certain day. It's a crazy system. It started in the 70s. But get this, who benefited from the Iowa caucuses? Jimmy Carter. That's how he first got there. Ooh, he won it.
Yeah.
He actually won because, you know, he gave him an edge, like a jump ahead. So he probably would say that he was glad it was that way then. But this is 50 years later. It's time for a change.
It seems like the person who wins California, Texas, New York, and Florida, and of course Ohio, that's the person who's likely to become the next occupant of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. But
well, the only thing is Texas and Florida are like basically red now at this point. California and New York are blue. Ohio is more red. I think it's a whole Midwest matters, not just Ohio. I think Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Ohio, not really Indiana, possibly Missouri. I think those states, and of course you got to win some southern states like, you know, South Carolina, Georgia. That's probably mostly North Carolina, Virginia. You know, you can't just go by the big states because they are split. But, I mean, the way it looks to me after the midterm elections, all the states that Trump had beaten Clinton by, Biden won back, and they all stayed blue now. So that's a good sign for having enough votes for the Electoral College. Even though Florida may not be Democratic and Texas won't be, and maybe even Ohio won't be, but the others, I think it really gives an edge for 2024. But as far as the Senate's a nightmare. There's only 10 Republican seats up, 23 Democratic seats, because the Democrats did well in 2018. And unfortunately, the 10 Republican seats, if you look them up, it's almost impossible to imagine any of them being kicked out of office. So it's going to be a problem. They probably can't gain seats, and if they lose two, if they have 51, they will be the minority in the Senate, the Democrats. So it's not going to be an easy year.
Dr. Ron Fineman, thank you again for joining us here at the Talking Place. Time flew, but hopefully folks learned something. You laughed a few times, and if you had to swear at your radio a couple times,
that's okay also.
But please be sure to read Dr. Fineman's blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. It is brain-stimulating reading, which is published every single day.
And also historynewsnetwork.org under my name also, please. Yes.
Talk again, Ron. Thanks again, and thank you folks for listening. Adam here on
Thanks a lot.
The Talking Place. WWGH1071.com.